"What do you need, young lord?" David asked through the open door. "Come in. I want to talk to you about something," Zeke said as he got up from his prone position on the couch. As David entered, he glanced in wonder at the three floating pens that were simultaneously scribbling away on three separate sheets of paper. "Your control is impressive. I hadn't thought it possible to perform such intricate movements with multiple objects at once." "I have my ways," Zeke said with a smirk as he motioned for David to sit. "But that's not what I called you here for. I want to talk about something else. Something important." "Does it have anything to do with yesterday's event?" David ventured. Zeke nodded. "I know you are getting close to the limits of your core. What are your plans?" "I am going to attempt the breakthrough," the man stated right away. "That's what I feared." "You aren't going to stop me?" Zeke raised a brow. "Do you want me to?" David shook his head. "No, I am merely surprised. Chances are you are going to lose one of your most powerful subordinates. Most family heads wouldn't be happy about that." "First of all," Zeke stated with a serious expression, "even if you were to fail, you would still have a place here, remember that. Your value doesn't stem from your power alone, David. I'd pick a competent and trustworthy man such as you over a powerful stranger any day." David bowed fractionally in acknowledgement, and Zeke didn't miss the small smile on his lips. "Secondly, I'm more worried about what might happen if you actually succeeded," Zeke admitted. "Is this about what the young Bloodsword said?" Zeke forced a smile. "You noticed? It was rather obvious you were brooding about something, at least to me. If it helps, I wouldn't put too much stock in the words of the boy." Zeke shook his head. "That's not it. Mordred's words happened to touch upon a subject I had been considering for a while. I am at a loss on how to proceed, to be completely honest with you." "Proceed with what exactly, young lord?" "The future of the house." David's brows furrowed. "Aren't we doing just fine? The family has been growing at a rapid pace and there are no apparent problems." Zeke nodded. "We have more gold than we know what to do with, employ more mages than ever, and our fame grows by the day. But do you think it is enough? Do you think we will reach our goals like this?" "What are you trying to say, young lord?" "I don't think our current system is going to work out in the long term." "In what way?" David asked. "If this is because you think I might leave, then I can assure you—" "No," Zeke interrupted. "It is good to hear that you want to stay with the family, it truly is. But the issue is bigger than that. Tell me, David, what do you think of the decision not to adopt anyone into the family?" "It has served us well," David stated right away. "For many years the von Hohenheim household has managed to attract the strongest unaffiliated mages exactly because of the freedom afforded by this arrangement." "That's exactly it," Zeke confirmed with a nod. "People were attracted to the freedom we offered." "I fail to see the problem with that," David said with a raised brow. "What is this freedom exactly?" "The freedom to leave our house when it no longer—" David started, realization dawning on him. "You want to take that freedom away? Bind people to your cause?" "Young lord, Maximilian was always adamant about the importance of choice. He would not have approved of—" "I know that," Zeke said, interrupting the man for a second time. "That's why I am conflicted. I know Maximilian would not approve of this decision, but I don't see any other way forward. What brought this on? Do you still remember my words? I promised vengeance against the Empire. I promised revenge for what they had done to us, to Maximilian." "I remember well." "Then tell me, how am I supposed to stand against the Empire without an army at my back?" "You have troops, do you not?" "I may have soldiers, but no army." "I don't understand, young lord. Are you doubting their loyalty?" "Not currently, no." "Then where's the problem?" "The problem is that I pay for their loyalty," Zeke explained. "But what happens if the Empire offers more? How many will stay when they have to choose between money and death?" "You just said so yourself. They came to our house exactly because we offered them the freedom to leave. What will keep them from making use of that freedom in times of crises?" David remained silent. It was apparent from the look on his face that he didn't agree, but lacked the words for a rebuttal. Zeke sighed. "Look, I don't want to force people to stay against their will, but something has to change. Or do you think it is fair that I pay for their crystals, teach them my secrets, offer my spells, and even help them advance, and get nothing in return?" "Help them advance?" David asked, wide-eyed. Zeke nodded slowly. "I discovered something yesterday, something that will make it significantly safer to advance." He motioned to the three pens that were still writing on a nearby table. "Those are the first pages of my instruction manual. David turned his full attention to the several pages that were already written, a hungry look in his eyes. "Can I read it?" Zeke shook his head. "I will have to do an examination first. I don't want anyone attempting a breakthrough until they meet the requirements. With all due respect, young lord, I won't need any help determining if my core has reached maturity." "I'm not talking about your core, David. There is another factor that will determine your success." The man nodded slowly, leaning back in his chair. The expression on his face was one of deep contemplation. Zeke decided to strike while the iron was hot. "I assume you have figured out what my meditation technique does by now. Combined with the spell repository and a safe way to reach the Archmage level, we have all the tools we need to build an army. With our wealth and means, our numbers could rival the four great families in a few decades, a century at the latest." David remained silent, but this time, Zeke was happy to let him think. He had said his piece and laid out his plan. Now all he could do was wait for his response. "I think," David began, falling silent right after. It was only several minutes later that he spoke again. "I agree with some of what you said, young lord. The von Hohenheim house, as it is now, won't be able to support your ambitions." Zeke remained silent. He knew there was more to come. "But the alternative is just as bad. I don't want to see you turn into the very thing you are fighting against. If we breed an army and force them into war, then how would we be any different from the four great families?" This time it was Zeke who had no words to refute his right-hand man. David had brought up a good point. His plans of revenge were exactly that. His plans. What right did Zeke have to drag his people into this? He had no doubt that he could do it. But should he? And if so, then how was he any better than the warmongers in the Empire? Zeke leaned back as well, his own gaze turning thoughtful. For a while, nobody spoke. The two men sat in silence, each consumed by their own thoughts. "What do you suggest I do, David? I can't give up on my revenge. And even if I could, that's not the only reason I'll need an army. I'm sure you have an inkling of the secrets I hold and of the ambitions I harbor. Sooner or later, powerful forces are going to come for me. Of that I have no doubt. And when they do, I want to have people at my back. People I can trust with my life. Not mercenaries with uncertain loyalties." David listened carefully before nodding. "I would not ask you to give up on your revenge, young lord. You are not alone in your desire for the Empire's blood. Alas, I do not know the answer to your question. I suggest we both think on it some more." Zeke nodded. He hadn't expected David to have a solution in the first place. He had mostly wanted to hear the other man's opinion on his plans. David was a man of character, and of all his subordinates, Zeke relied on him most to point out when he was going wrong. The fact that David did not outright denounce his plans was already most of what he had wanted. However, despite the conversation clearly being over, David seemed reluctant to leave. Zeke curiously looked at him. "Is there something else you wanted to talk about?" David grimaced. "Could you perform the test?" Zeke tilted his head. "What for? Your core is not yet fully matured anyway." "I want to know how far away I truly am." Zeke nodded slowly. "I can do it if you want. But the procedure requires a lot of trust, and you will be put into a vulnerable state. Are you sure you want to do it now?" "Yes," David replied easily. "What reason would I have to hesitate at this point? I have long since decided where my loyalties lay."
"Query, shall I prepare the tea?"
"Do it," Zeke answered in his mind. It didn't take long before a can of freshly brewed tea flew over to the lounge. One of the cups located on the low table flipped over as the teapot approached. David watched in wonder as the tea poured itself, and then remained suspended in front of his face. He looked at the cup and then shot Zeke a questioning gaze. "That's super root tea," Zeke explained. "I need to suppress your mana for the test." David nodded and downed the entire cup in a single gulp and waited expectantly for what was to come. Zeke, for his part, had already slipped into his soul sight. This was the moment of truth. He would learn how David's chances were. It took a couple of minutes, but eventually, the mana protection dispersed completely. Being a shadow mage, Zeke had expected David's soul to be shaped like something dark and sinister. Instead, he found something completely different. His soul was shaped like a lantern, the flickering flame of the candle dancing merrily to an inaudible tune.
"Notice, scan complete. The soul falls short of the recommended size. 68% of the minimum threshold reached. Advancement will fail."
Zeke couldn't help a frown from spreading as he exited his soul sight. David only met 68% of the requirement, despite being almost 100 years old. To be fair, His soul was larger than some of the participants they had seen yesterday. However, that was of little comfort considering the fact that he would be guaranteed to fail. "How bad is it, young lord?" David asked, having no doubt noticed the expression on Zeke's face. "You are falling short, and not by a small amount," Zeke said without holding back. "If you tried to advance today, you would fail." David accepted the assessment easily. "What can I do to improve my chances?" What could he do indeed? Zeke had a couple of theories. However, none of them had been tested yet, and he was still far away from finding the best way to grow the soul. He would have to prioritize finding a solution for this.
"Notice, your mother approaches. It seems to be something urgent."
Zeke turned toward the door, from where his mother burst into the room a moment later. Mia was out of breath. It was clear that she had run all the way here. "Mom, what's wrong?" "Take a look yourself," she said, as she handed him the black envelope she had clutched in her hands. Zeke opened the letter and scanned the contents inside. As he read, his face grew serious. "What's the matter, young lord? Remember that emergency conference you told me about? The one between the Empire and the Alliance?" Zeke asked after putting the letter down. "I do." "This is an official invitation to that very event," Zeke explained. "I don't see how that would merit such a serious expression." Zeke shook his head. "It is not the invitation that has me worried, but the reason we received it. You see, the party that demanded we attend was the Empire."